Good morning, and welcome to Cox Media Group Houston's Public Affairs Show, FYI. My name is Susie Hanks. Every generation wants the next one to succeed, but thousands of children are facing emotional and environmental challenges that will keep them from succeeding. And Devereaux, Texas is a lifeline for children and adolescents and adults in challenging situations. And so with us today, we have Joni Robertson, who is the Director of Development at Devereaux, Texas. Good morning, Joni.
Good morning.
And Shanika Brown, who is the foster care program manager there. Hello, Shanika.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for coming in here this morning. I have to say, I have been involved in Devereaux, Texas for a few years. I always love to go to your gala. I am honored to be the host of it. Thank you very much for continuing to ask me to do that. It's one of my favorite things to do and one of my favorite organizations. And I personally have been to the facilities. You guys do a great job, and it's an amazing organization. And so I wanted to talk about that and about your upcoming gala, which is a fundraiser that's coming up that I'm going to be hosting as well. First of all, Joni, tell me about Devereaux and the history of Devereaux and what your mission is.
Okay. First off, Susie, I want to thank you for having us both here today to bring awareness to Devereaux Advanced Behavioral Health. I truly believe, you know, there are thousands of charities here in the Houston community for people to give their philanthropic dollar to. And I believe Devereaux is one of the most, if not the most, important organization to give to support people with emotional and behavioral issues. Because if they don't get the help they need, it could have devastating effects on them. So I truly believe in that. The history of Devereaux is quite amazing to me. It started back in 1920s. By a school teacher in Philadelphia named Helena Devereaux. She noticed the kids in the back of the classroom weren't really being taught, and eventually they would leave the school. Well, she took it upon herself to teach these kids and learn the proper tools and techniques to make them successful. People heard about her from all over the country and eventually would send their kids to her, and they would stay with her for, you know, several months. And from there, Devereaux has grown today to be an organization that has been around for more than 100 years. We are the largest nonprofit healthcare provider for individuals of all ages with emotional, behavioral, and cognitive differences.
You have different chapters in different states, but we're talking about the one here in Texas, specifically down there in League City. Tell people about your facility down there. It's gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. We're on a beautiful campus of about 49 acres. Our programs include an intensive residential for adolescents and young adults ages from 12 to 22. They actually live with us for an average stay of 18 to 22 months. They also attend our Devereaux School, which is an accredited school, special education school. And we have foster care services for kids from birth to 17 years of age.
Yeah. First of all, let's talk a little bit about your philosophy of treatment, the way that you kind of your plan and your vision for how you handle and how you treat and how you help these people with the behavioral issues and cognitive issues. Tell me a little bit about that.
Our plans, we have a full treatment team when an individual comes to us. We meet with them. We do an individualized assessment. Each person has an individualized treatment plan, starting from their residential unit, the people who care for them there, all the way through the school. So everything is quite individualized, and we have specialty programs as well.
And so who are the people who are coming to you for help, and how do they find you, and how does that begin with them?
We treat kids from all over Texas and all over the nation. They come to us from school districts, the courts, and different referral sources. But these kids come to us with severe depression, personality disorders, and abuse and severe anger issues. A lot of trauma involved as well. And so what we do is, we help them overcome by working with them in an individualized treatment plan with our therapists, our doctors that are on staff, as well as from our direct care staff.
And are they all resident who come to live or that you're helping and treating? Are they all in the residential program there on campus?
At our League City program, yes. And that's ages, again, from 12 to 22. They are living on campus from an average of 18 to 22 months, depending on their need.
Yeah.
And they attend school for full time.
And so down there on the campus, there is a school, and it's just like a regular school. I came to visit, and it's just
absolutely
an amazing regular school. And I remember walking around with you, and you were giving me a wonderful tour of the place, and it's just like the bell rang, and all the kids come out, and you wouldn't really realize you're in any kind of a different place than you would in a normal school.
We try to give these kids an experience like we had in high school, where you have prom. You have the science fair, you have career day, everything that we've had, because these kids have not had that. They've come from severe trauma and abusive families. Many of them have lived on the streets. Many of them have been in different placements around the country or in their hometown. They've also, the majority of them come with a substance or alcohol abuse.
Which oftentimes comes with those kinds of situations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so not only are they just going to school, but they're also getting intensive treatment.
Absolutely.
And tell me about the different people there, the staff. You have some incredibly trained, wonderful people who are working there.
Absolutely. We have our medical director, Dr. Carolyn Villarubia, who's been there for over 20 years. And that's something that I would like to say. One of our strengths at Devereux is the longevity of our staff. Many of have been there and for 20 plus years and have the training and the backing and all the research needed to help these individuals.
That really goes to say something, because this kind of profession, there is a lot of turnover. It's very mentally and physically taxing sometimes. There's a big burnout, I guess, but you guys have managed to help your staff and your staff feel that they need to stick around and want to stick around.
Absolutely. Yeah. Our recreational director as well as a huge help to these kids, because the recreation in itself bridges that gap for socializing and learning to work as a team members. And so that's a very big part of our program.
Yeah. Another big part of the program is the foster program, which I guess kind of goes hand in hand, really, doesn't it? Because you have these kids who are coming in and who are needing help from you, but also they sometimes need help from other people, and they need families. And so, Shanika Brown, you are the foster care program manager. Yes. Tell me about that. Tell me about how many kids and the need for this kind of a program.
There's a large need for children to have homes and loving homes, and so there are approximately 31,000 children who are in the Texas foster care program. So you can imagine how many children there are that we're currently finding homes for. So, of course, these children have all experienced some level of trauma due to abuse, neglect, and a myriad of different challenges that they face in their lives. And so, as with any child, they would like a normal childhood where they can have a loving family. So we're always looking for loving families to provide a home, a family experience, and hopefully at some point in their lives, some level of permanency for our children.
Yeah. This just came to mind. Are you affiliated with CPS whatsoever or separately? Tell me about that.
Yes. So we are affiliated with the Department of Family Protective Services, which is CPS is under their umbrella. Okay. And they are our referral source. And so all of our children are under the custody of the state, under CPS custody. And so when CPS needs a home for children, they will contact us and, you know, they'll say, do you have a home for this sibling group or this child or, you know, these children? And so we look at our foster parents. We always try to make an appropriate match, meaning we want to make sure that the child is a good fit for the home and vice versa. So if we get a referral for a child who is a dog lover or loves pets, we try to find a foster home that, you know, has all of the other, that can meet all of their other needs. And if they have a pet, that's a bonus, because of course we want them to feel comfortable. So we do receive referrals from CPS, and we try to find a great match for the child in for one of our foster homes.
When you get a referral, oftentimes it's last minute, middle of the night, situations that are an emergency. And I guess it's wonderful to try to find a perfect place for them, but oftentimes you just have to find a place for them. Is that right?
It is. However, we work really hard to ensure that we minimize any potential disruption that may happen. So we know that there, you know, may be another source of permanency or for that child. And so we want to make sure we have the best match possible. So if we don't have a good match for that child, we may not be able to accept them, because we want to ensure that they are in the best environment for them, where they can be nurtured and grow and develop appropriately.
Right. This seems to be a incredibly impossible job that you have, to try and help these kids in these situations, but not only have not only be there for them, but to have the people who are willing to accept them into their homes. This is a dedication that people have to do, isn't it? This is a big job for them.
It is. I was in a training recently, and one of the icebreaker questions was, tell us how you feel about your job. And the first word that came to my mind was important. This is really important work. And it takes a team. It takes, you know, the foster care staff with Devereaux. It takes the foster parents. CPS is a part of our team. And, of course, the most important team member is the child. And we want to make sure that they're involved with as much of the decision-making and planning for their lives as possible. So it's great work, it's important work, and we do what we can to make sure that we're doing what's in the best interest of each child.
You get a lot of impossible situations with kids where maybe there's a bunch of them in a family, or separate different groups of kids. Tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. We receive referrals of all types of children, all types of families. So we do receive quite a few referrals for sibling groups. Sibling group could be from 2 children to 8 children, sometimes more. And so that is a challenge that we have, because the child who is being removed from their biological family, that's a loss that they're experiencing. And so we try to minimize the loss, and we try, if at all possible, to keep them together with their siblings, because they're at this point all that each other has. So that does become a challenge, because we do sometimes receive referrals for large sibling groups.
Which leads me to the next question. I think one of the biggest challenges would be finding people to do it. How do you do that?
So we work very closely with Joni and in Joni's department to try and recruit. So we reach out to community members. We have partnerships with other community members, and our foster parents are a great recruitment tool as well, because they tell their friends what their experience in foster care has been, and people just want to help. We're getting ready to start regular orientations, and we have one coming up on February 22nd. We're having two, one at 10 a.m. and then one again at 5:30 p.m. Same information for both sessions. We just want to make sure we're able to accommodate different schedules. So the orientations are helpful too. We have a wonderful website and other literature that we distribute that lets people know what foster care is all about and how they can become a foster parent.
And we're doing this recording, of course, earlier in February, but if that time has come and gone, there are still I guess seminars that you have from time to time. You have lots of them.
Yes. So we will have monthly orientations, and those dates will be on our website.
Yeah.
And I just want to interject for just a minute, because I want to brag a little bit
on our
foster care staff. Two of our foster care staff have been honored with the Child Placing Agency Staff of the Year by the Texas Alliance. And that just shows how dedicated the staff is to really find loving, caring homes for the children in need. And we do realize that not everybody is going to be able to bring a child into their home and provide that safe place. But I do encourage anyone who's interested at all to attend our orientation, to get involved and find maybe another way that you can help these kids.
What type of person comes to you and wants to do this kind of job? Who are you looking for, and what are the qualifications needed to do it?
So, of course, we have all types of people that come with interest, which is exactly what we want, because, like I said earlier, we want to match the child to the family. So we have single foster parents, and then we have foster parents who are couples, and then we have foster parents who have biological children of their own, some that don't. So it just kind of runs the gamut. And so if a person is interested in becoming a foster parent, they can attend an orientation or, you know, meet with our staff so they can learn more information. And then the next step is for them to fill out an application packet, of course. And the bulk of their application process is what's called a home study. I always tell people that a home study is a very nosy, invasive interview that we'll conduct with the potential foster parents and everyone else in the home for several reasons. But just to ensure that this is really what they want to do, we'll talk about all types of challenges that they may face, their discipline style, things like that, their background. And we also kind of concurrently conduct what's called pre-service training, where we will provide them with the tools that they will need in order to be a successful foster parent. And we do provide the disclaimer that this training is not going to give them everything. They're not going to know everything about parenting because, of course, you kind of learn that while you're in the throes of it. But we do give them the tools that they need. And, of course, our foster care staff is there to support them every step of the way from the time that they come in to the door with interest of becoming a foster parent and while they have their children, we're constantly providing them with support as well.
That would be super-duper intimidating to sign up to be a foster parent. You have to really it takes a certain special person, but, you know, not knowing anything, coming in and getting the training, how much training is there?
It's approximately 35 hours of training. That's 35 real hours of training, and we'll do it over a span, of course, but again, it allows them the opportunity to take in the training, digest it, come back the next training session, ask questions, and really kind of work through and see firsthand what some of the issues are that they'll be encountering as a foster parent, and we can help them process that and be prepared for thing that they may face.
When they do get a family or they do get some kids or a child, what kinds of, I guess, checkups are there on that situation, and also what kind of support do they get while that's going on?
So whenever a child comes into care, of course, we provide them with their, whenever they come to our agency, we provide them with medical care and all of those things. But we are constantly in the home making sure that the foster parents have what they need. And we also have we have foster care staff that's available to them 24 hours a day. We have an emergency on-call telephone number that they know to call, and they do call, and we want them to whenever they need assistance. And we're in the home a minimum of once monthly, but more frequently if there is a need, if the foster parent has a challenge with a child, or if we just see that there's, you know, a need for more support, we're in the home more frequently as well. But whatever it is that they need, we're able to provide that.
I know that at the state level, CPS has been having some kind of a crisis going on, and they really have been, I guess that's become a big, I guess, focus of the legislature this session.
Yes.
How's that affected you guys?
We have seen we've seen a greater need, and there, and I think a lot of it has to do. They have a new commissioner that just began in the fall of last year, and I think the commissioner is coming in and wanting to make some improvements to the system. It's a very large system, so of course there are going to be some kinks that need to be ironed out. So we're seeing more referrals and more of a concerted effort to match children appropriately. So we have seen definitely an increase in some of those referrals.
Yeah. Tell me about some of the families that come to you and the situations that you've seen. You've been doing this for a little while. Tell me about some of the things that stick out to you. And
in regards to the children?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the families, mm-hmm. the foster family who comes in and says, we want to be able to do this, and what are they like, and what are they getting into?
So very recently, we encountered a family where it was a couple, and the wife was a previous foster child herself, and she was eventually adopted. But even after she was adopted, her parents continued to foster. So she grew up, of course, in the foster care system. She has a very sympathetic heart to foster children, and the couple, they don't have any biological children of their own, but they just want to provide a home to a child, maybe two, so that she can receive what she got when she was a foster child, because she had a good experience in becoming adopted and having her forever family as a result of being a foster child. So that's one particular couple that stands out to me. And then we have another family that I can think of. It's they were recently married within the last few years, and they have children, you know, of their own, and they had one foster child who came into their home as a baby, or maybe around 6 months or so, was placed in a relative placement, and that relative placement didn't work out, and as a two-year-old getting ready to turn three, he came back into their home. Of course, they were elated because as every foster parent does, they grew an attachment to this child before he left, and they will be adopting him here very soon.
Oh, wow.
So that's, you know, they're a wonderful family, and he's a part of their family. He's just a member of their family. So our families kind of vary. We have, you know, like I said before, we have a single mom who has a teenage child, and they're a very connected family unit. And so it just kind of runs the gamut. We want to make sure that we have a variety of families so that we can find great homes that will match each of the children that that we're able to serve.
The families that come in, are they oftentimes, the end result they would want would be to adopt? And then are there also families who maybe aren't interested in adopting, and that's okay too?
Yes, that's a good question. We do have families that are interested in both. What's important and what's a part of our pre-service training is just to help the foster parents keep in mind that many, many times, unfortunately for our children, their home is not their last stop. And so we want them to keep at the forefront of their mind. Of course, they're going to become bonded. You know, they're going to welcome the children as a part of their family. But they have to keep in mind that the children may not stay there. And so we help them work through that as well, because that's going to be some grief and loss for our families as well. So we do have families that are interested in just providing homes for children as long as they need to have a home with them. And then we do have some families that are interested in finding their forever family and adopting.
Yeah. It would be, I think, tough to have a child come into your home and live there for a while and then leave.
Yes.
And oftentimes there isn't any kind of guarantee of any kind of contact or anything afterwards, is there?
Exactly. And again, we, especially keeping in mind that the whole goal of foster care is to, for as long as the child is with the parent or with the family, to provide them with a home and regard them as if they were a member of their own family forever. Mm-hmm. And so when you have that in mind and that is your whole goal and you're helping them through education and all of those things that we help children do while we're rearing them, and then one day you get a call that says, we're coming by tomorrow, or we're coming by next week, or whatever the timetable is to pick up this child because they're going elsewhere, that is something that is very difficult for our parents to go through, as you can imagine.
Yeah. We are talking with Joni Robertson, who's the Director of Development at Devereaux, Texas, and Shanika Brown, the Foster Care Program Manager. Joni, the Devereaux has the residential services and then the foster services. What's do kids who come to the residential service sometimes end up in the foster system? Is there a crossover there? And why are some kids not in the foster system, but they're with you?
Well, kids in the foster care system have been taken away from their families due to severe abuse and neglect. The kids in our residential program, some of them are in CPS custody, but the majority of them come from homes. Regular, you know, school districts refer them to us, the courts refer them to us, because they have severe emotional and behavioral problems.
Do the families sometimes come to you and say, how can I help my kid?
Absolutely. We work as a whole. We try to help the whole family. During the treatment process, there are a lot of family visits and a lot of therapy sessions to help the whole family and the family structure and dynamic. Many times, you know, the family, unfortunately, is the root cause of the child's issues. And so all those have to be worked out.
Yeah. Do you have just a family member who's calling and wanting to get in, not necessarily referred by the courts or referred by a doctor or referred by for any, you know, just calling you themselves, looking you up and asking for help?
We do. We get those calls as well. And, you know, we help everybody that we can. But the majority, our funding comes from the school districts and state and federal funding. Private insurance will pay some. However, they usually do acute care, which is only 3 to 4 days. And unfortunately, these kids' needs take months, sometimes years, you know, to treat and help. So they can find the proper ways to behave in society and learn to become productive members of society.
Which leads me to how you guys do some funding. And one of the things you do is fundraising. And
Absolutely.
So you've got a gala fundraiser coming up. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
We've got a wonderful gala, like you've mentioned, and thank you. You've been the master of ceremonies. This will be your third year.
It's always a ton of fun, too. You guys have a good party.
It's a ton of fun. Our program is, we keep it short on program, long on fun.
I don't talk that much. Yeah, not allowed to talk that much.
We try to get you up there all the time. But this year, it's on April 7th. It's at the fabulous Hotel Zaza. The event, we do honor an individual or company that is very philanthropic within the Houston and Clear Lake community. And this year we're honoring Kendra Scott. So we're thrilled with that. She has supported Devereaux as well as many other charities throughout Texas and now the country.
And a lot of people don't know who Kendra Scott is, although I think every woman does. So tell us
That's
about
true.
Kendra Scott.
She's the jewelry designer. Matter of fact, I've got a pair of earrings on now. We actually just had an in-store event at the Baybrook Mall. And everything that sold within that event, the two-hour time frame, 20% came back to Devereaux. And they do that not only for us, but again, for several charities.
She's based out of Austin, is that right?
She is based out of Austin.
She's really, really very aware of Texas and very philanthropically involved in Texas.
Very much so in all of her stores. And now she's opening up stores all across the country.
Okay. So it's going to be on the 7th of April. And mm-hmm. So if people want to go, of course, you can get tables and things. Tell us about that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and this event, it's going to feature, you know, a wonderful meal prepared by Hotel Zaza. We have Patagonia Grill, who's going to provide all the appetizers during the cocktail reception. We have Kendra Scott, who's actually coming in and going to do mystery bags. So for $50, you can get any, you know, a surprise gift from Kendra Scott that's worth anywhere from $65 to $120. So we're going to have a lot of fun activities. Kroger is also coming in as our decor sponsor, so I want to give a shout out to them as well. But to get involved, we have sponsorships ranging from $1,000 to $15,000. table sponsorships and everything in between. Individual tickets are $200. So we encourage you to come. At the end of the evening, we're having a live band. This is actually our second year to have them. It's the Gentle Lamb Experience. Mm-hmm. Fabulous dancing band. And by everybody wanting us to have them back, we've decided to have them back this year, and we're thrilled to have them. So we encourage your participation. The event benefits all of Devereux, Texas.
Something that I always come away with is that there's just such a sense of joy, and people are so really involved and loving in your organization. The board members, I mean, when they get in and they love it because they really, really care, because it's such a great organization. But it's just a lot of fun and very lighthearted as well. And you always have somebody there who's been through. You have people who come up and talk about their experiences, and it's a beautiful thing, and you guys do a great job with it.
Thank you very much.
What's the website if somebody wanted to go there?
SavorTheHope.org.
Okay. And tickets are still available. You can come in.
Tickets are still available. And also at the event, we have a fabulous silent and live auction items that we're going to be featuring that give you the opportunity to bid on fabulous trips or jewelry or wine packages. So please come and join us. It's a great night.
You're also, you of course have the fundraiser. If you wanted to be involved in making donations and not doing the fundraiser, you guys are always taking donations as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we need the support of the community to be able to continue to provide all the services and top quality care that we can.
Yeah. And you're volunteering, if somebody wants to volunteer or get involved that way?
Oh, absolutely. We have our Friends of Devereux. It's a group with about 65 members now. That group comes in and does a variety of activities with our kids in the residential program, as well as supports the foster care program with their two events that supports the foster care families. And that's during the Christmas time as well as a summer event.
Okay. And Shanika, what is the, if somebody was interested in the foster care program, getting involved in that, how do they find out about that?
They can give us a call, and our number is 281-335-1000, or they can visit our website at Devereux, that's DevereuxTX.org.
Yes, no A in that. Everybody wants to put an A.
Right, that's what, yeah, it's easy to do. It's spell it one more time for me.
DevereuxTX.org.
Or you just Google Devereux. Even if you misspell it, it'll still come up on your Google. It's pretty easy. It comes right up.
Or you can find us on Facebook as well.
Yes. Thank you so much. We've been talking with Joni Robertson, Director of Development at Devereux, Texas, and Shanika Brown, the Foster Care Program Manager. I'm so looking forward to the gala, and I'll see you both there. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
You bet. My name is Susie Hanks, and you have been listening to FYI.